This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now to how old ideas about city neighborhoods persist in ways that can lock in poverty. In the 1930s and 40s, the government drew up maps with red lines around what were seen as bad parts of town, risky areas they were called. These red line maps were used by government agencies and private lenders to decide who got loans. Redlining was outlawed in the 1960s. But a teachable moment this morning about how these scars on our cities remain. Ariella Cohen is editor-in-chief of Next City, a daily online publication. She and her colleagues recently held up the old red line maps to today's map of Philadelphia and can still see the imprint. Thanks for joining us, Ariella.
Thanks for having me, David.
Isn't it striking when you look at the original designations in the 1930s and 40s? I mean, they decided certain neighborhoods were, quote, dangerous. That's what they called them.
Yeah, they did. And the criteria was pretty subjective. They had these appraisers who had come from the private real estate industry go in and just basically walk around neighborhoods and say, oh, you know, this looks kind of sketchy, essentially. They thought that density was bad. They thought proximity to any kind of manufacturing was negative. And again, if there was a presence of Blacks, people, immigrants, even Italians, Jews, other ethnic whites, certainly people of Hispanic or Asian backgrounds, that was a ding against you.
So this notion of redlining was official policy in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, but it was then outlawed. Your team examined a city today, and you could still perceive the outlines of these old putative boundaries?
Absolutely. So we took the 1934 redlining map created by the Homeowners Loan Corporation and overlaid it with a contemporary map of Philadelphia and looked at the Census Bureau data from 2015 in those areas. And you could still see how areas that were redlined back in the 30s continue to be high poverty areas and continue to be neighborhoods that are segregated.
This challenges the narrative that, you know, the Fair Housing Act gets passed in 1968 and we wipe away the redlining and things improved. You're saying not necessarily.
You know, these neighborhoods were systematically starved of investment. So the federal government and the real estate industry had policies that made it harder for people to get access to credit, access to equity, build infrastructure, build houses there. And then as those areas became lower and lower valued because of the lack of investment in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, people left.
What's your sense, Ariella? I mean, you looked at Philadelphia, but you think the pattern would be repeated if you looked at other cities?
Absolutely. And other researchers have looked at cities like Chicago and found very similar patterns. I think that this was a national system. It was a federal policy and with national actors in the real estate industry. So I think cities were pretty universally challenged by it.
The piece in Next City is called How Redlining Segregated Philadelphia. Ariella Cohen, editor-in-chief, thank you.
Thank you.